Good morning. I want to welcome all of you here this morning. So glad to see such a good crowd. I want to welcome all of our visitors especially. We want you to know that you are our honored guest, and we hope that you'll be able to be back with us again this evening. We know that there are many things going on, and several of our own members aren't able to be here, but we thank you all for being here this morning. We do want to make sure that we let you know of those that we need to continue to be praying for. We especially want to extend our sympathy to those who have lost loved ones recently. We did find out that James Valentine, that's the husband of Miss Jean Valentine and Lynn Klingbeil's father, passed away over the night, and that was due to complications from cancer and COVID. And so please remember that family in your prayers. We also want to remember Nick and Sue Wynn's family. Their niece, Harriet Cantrell, passed away also from COVID last Monday, so remember that family in your prayers. And we want to continue to remember the, Reba Coates' family as well, and the loss of her grandson, Ross Hill, who was killed in an accident. So please remember all of these in your prayers, and others that are dealing with difficult situations, especially those that have lost loved ones. Some events that we want you to be praying for and looking forward to include the Coates Trail Ride that will be coming up in a few weeks, and you've heard a lot of announcements on that. There's some flyers here in the building that about that, so continue to be praying for that event. Also, the Walk for Water that you've heard about some here will be April 18th. If you have any questions about that, please let me know or see Austin. If you would like to register, and we want everyone possible to register, we'll try to give you some instructions on how to do that if you're not aware already in the next coming times that we're together. Brother Todd will be speaking to us this morning in Austin's place. You may or may not know that Austin and Brianne, they're home with COVID, as well as Kyle Dixon and Sonia Cox, and Maggie and Creed are also at home with COVID. So remember these families that are affected by this as they are being quarantined, and hopefully they'll recover all right. There's others on the prayer list that I'm sure you've gotten in your email from Bob and Deb that I don't have time to mention this morning, but do remember all those that are dealing with difficult situations this time. But Brother Bill has some announcements, but I'm glad that we're able to be here and worship this morning. And so I know there's so many things going on around us in the world and even in our own families and our own lives, but let's thank God and praise God for the opportunity to give him worship. And for he is the only one that deserves our worship, and let's do that wholeheartedly this morning.
It is good to be here this morning to worship God on the first day of the week. I've got about three different announcements. We need to pay extra close attention to these announcements. Yesterday, an email was sent out, Florence Boulevard Alert, and in case you did not get that, I would like to read it again, or read it this morning. On Thursday, March the 25th, 2021, the Department of Alabama Public Health identified Lauderdale County as a very high risk, and Colbert County is a moderate risk for the continued spread of COVID. Although conditions have improved to low risk for some of the state, our immediate area has some work to do. We ask for your continued due diligence, and follow me close on these, to maintain a distance of 6 feet apart, social distancing, wearing masks within 6 feet, isolating 10 days when affected with COVID, and quarantining 14 days when coming within close contact of any person that has tested positive. If you have tested positive, please make the proper notification to those that you have come in contact with to help control the potential spread. That is very important. Thank you so much for your cooperation and your support in these challenging times. The second announcement that I would like to make this morning is due to so many people becoming sick in just recent days, we as the eldership of Florence Boulevard have decided to cancel classes this morning and next Sunday. That was the only services or classes that will be affected. Classes this morning and next Sunday. We will have worship tonight. We will have singing Wednesday night because we can spread out in the auditorium. But since some of these classes are in very confined spaces, that is why we chose to do that. And one other announcement's a little bit different. We've been used to taking a communion before our lesson on Sunday morning. We'll take communion at the end of our lesson that Brother Todd gives us this morning. So that's when we will do that. So the three things, remember your distancing and on COVID, and that we will not have class this morning and next Sunday, and that we will take communion at the end of the worship service this morning. Thank you.
Let's open our worship with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day, this good day that you have blessed us with, dear God. We're thankful for the opportunity to be together as your children, as a family of your people, and we're thankful for the opportunity to praise your name this morning. God, we ask that you be with all those that have been mentioned, and we ask that you be with us as we worship you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.
There is beyond the azure blue a guidance now from heaven's side. He intensifies with heavenly hue and bring the world with his great light. There is a God, he is alive, and if we live, and we survive from death.
We'll sing number 701, that is My Jesus, I Love Thee. 701.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, for my gracious Redeemer.
To read a passage of scripture this morning. This comes from Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Let's all sing. After these couple songs, we will have our opening prayer.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we
would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? Our loving Heavenly Father, we approach your throne and give you the praise that you so rightly deserve. Heavenly Father above, we realize that you are the creator of all things, that you are the beginning and the end. Heavenly Father, we are tremendously thankful that you loved us so much, that you were willing to send your Son to this earth, and he loved us enough to be the sacrifice by shedding his blood and dying upon a cross that can give us as Christians a hope to spend eternity with you in heaven. Heavenly Father, we realize the tremendous sacrifice that was paid for our sins. Help us each day that we strive to our utmost to live as close to the example that Christ set for us that we possibly can. Heavenly Father, we ask at this time that you would forgive us when we trespass against you. We realize each day that Satan is a tremendous enemy. He has tremendous power to influence. And we ask your help. Each day you would help us to be stronger than we were the day before. That you would help us in our battle against evil. Heavenly Father, we realize that you have already conquered the death, that Jesus conquered it, and the devil and evil can be conquered. Heavenly Father, we ask at this time that you would bless those that have lost their loved ones. Help them with comfort, as only you are able to do. Heavenly Father, those that are sick, grant unto them the blessings that they stand in need of. Provide those medical personnel that attend to them the knowledge and the ability to use that knowledge to help them to return to their health. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us so richly in this country. Help us to always be grateful for those blessings, to not take the things for granted. Heavenly Father, help us to always be good stewards of the blessings you provide. Help us, Heavenly Father, in our daily walk of life, that people around us would see you living in us each day of the week. Heavenly Father, we realize that this country of ours provides us the freedoms that we have, the freedom today to assemble here without the fear of harm from anyone. But we also realize, Father, that this country's direction has going way too far away from you. We ask that you would help to influence the minds and the hearts of our elected people, that they would see the direction this country has gone and have the courage, the strength, and the determination that they would change the direction of this country back to having you as the center of the life. Heavenly Father, with that done, many of the problems today could be corrected. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless the work that is accomplished from here, that it would always be fruitful. Heavenly Father, we ask a blessing upon our elders as they lead and direct and make decisions for this congregation. We realize they have a tremendous task that they accept when they become an elder. And we ask your blessings upon them and their families. Heavenly Father, the life that we have on earth can be joyous and beautiful, but will not compare with what can await for us after this life. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would always help us in our daily walk of life, that at the end of this, life here. We can be hear from you, well done. For this is our prayer in your Son's name. Amen.
Number 781.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are. Is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you.
Will be what the Lord has done in me. I never could figure out if this is one we had done. I know we hadn't done it a lot if we had, but I know we got a good core group of people that know it. So we'll sing this before our sermon this morning. If you'd like, please stand as we sing this song. We ask that you remain standing for our reading from God's Word immediately following.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say,
scripture reading will be from Revelations 21, 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned by her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be the people, and God shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no longer any death, and there shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. And the first thing have passed away. You may be seated.
Good morning. Can you hear me? So it was time for their annual trip to go hunt elk up in Colorado. Two hunters that made this trip together, they were friends, and they went every year to hunt elk. And they went to a very deserted place that there were no roads, and so they had to use a hydroplane. So they would load up all their gear. They had a friend that was a pilot, and he would fly them in, and they would land on this beautiful lake, and they would stay for a week, and they would hunt elk. So it was time for their annual trip, and they made it there, and they hunted all week, and man, they had a really good week. They killed six elk, and if you've seen an elk, they're pretty big. So it's time to come home, and as they were packing up, the pilot said, I don't think we can get all six of these on the plane. You know, there's some weight issues here, and we may not be able to get off the ground, so maybe we can take four of them. And the two guys said, no. We had six last year, and we took six last year, so we can do it again. So after talking with the pilot, he relented and said, okay, all right. He said, we'll put the six elk on there. So they got the elk on there, loaded up their supplies. They were headed home, and the plane was a little heavy, but he got it off the ground. And after being in the air for a few minutes, they crashed. As the two hunters got out of the wreckage together, one looked at the other and said, do you know where we are? He said, no, I'm not sure, but I think we're about 2 miles from where we crashed last year. Sometimes we don't learn our lessons, do we? Sometimes we can be hard-headed and we're not really sure what's coming up next. You know, folks, this has been an incredible year. 1 year ago today, in this auditorium, nobody was here. Me, Mark Willingham, Steve Clark, Austin, and I believe Justin was here. And I sang to an empty auditorium. It was the beginning of the pandemic. The state had been shut down. We couldn't worship. A lot's happened in a year. And so I think for us, we can look back and say, what have we learned? Is there anything that we've learned from what we've been through the last year? Is there anything that God would have us to glean from what we've been through as a congregation, as a nation, as a family of God? What lessons can we learn? You know, it's been said that some of life's greatest lessons are often learned during the worst of times. And that's very true. James puts it this way in James 1 and verse 3, where he says, the trying of your faith works patience. And patience is a good thing. And I think we can all agree that our patience and our faith has been tried this year. It really has. In ways that maybe we don't always understand or comprehend. So I have five simple points this morning. And you know what? None of these are going to be strange or unusual. These are all going to be things that you're going to say, I knew that. But I'm telling you, the pandemic has brought some things to bear and has brought some things to our attention that I think as God's people, we better understand and remember because they're all very, very important. Now, before we get into those five points, what do we know about this pandemic? What are some things that have happened? Well, number one, our vocabulary has expanded greatly, right? We've learned new words. We've learned new phrases. We've learned new things that we didn't know 18 months ago. Anybody knew COVID-19 2 years ago? We didn't know what that was. We had no idea. We do now because of what's happened. And then we learned other words like mask, social distancing, quarantine, isolation, hand washing. I'm 56 years old and I've never had so many people tell me how to wash my hands. Really? Things that we just take for granted. What about online worship? That's a new phrase. Everybody's been doing it lately. And even some of our people today that are not here are worshiping with us online. So we've learned a lot of different things. We also learned about a lot of different people. This fellow was in my den every single day for the last year, and yours too, right? Along with some other faces that a year ago we didn't know, but we do now. Why? Because of the pandemic that we've lived through. So what are some things that we learn from the pandemic? Five simple truths that we can take home with us today. Number one, life is unpredictable. March the 17th, 2020. It was a Tuesday. I get up. I get dressed. I drive to the office like I always do. A full slate of patients. I'm there to work. Now, in the back of my mind, I was hearing on the news, like you were, that there was this strange virus that might be making its way to the United States. And there were some people that were saying, it's really going to be bad. I just went to work like any other day, and I didn't think a thing about it until I got home that night. And I got a beep on my phone, and it was from the Alabama Board of Dental Examiners. Now, if you're a dentist, you don't want to hear from the Alabama Board of Dental Examiners, right? So I'm thinking, what could they possibly want with me? As I opened that email, they said, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, you will close your office. You will not go back to work until we tell you you can. I'm like, really? You've got to be kidding me. So I go to work Wednesday. I have to cancel all of my patients. And then I go to the house. The first time in 29 years, I'm unemployed. If I don't work, I don't make money. I got sent home by order of the state. My office was closed. Life is unpredictable. Job said it best. In Job 14 and verse 1. Job went through a lot. But Job says in chapter 14 and verse 1. Man is of few days, born of woman, and full of what? Trouble. Man is born of woman, is a few days and full of trouble. Yeah, our lives are full of trouble. Our lives can also be unpredictable. Matthew chapter 14, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And as he was escaping the crowds, he told his disciples, you get in the boat and you go across the sea and I'll meet you over there later. And they did that. When they got in the boat, everything was great. As they got out onto the water, guess what happened? The weather changed. So much so that the boat was tossed around and they became afraid. The weather was unpredictable and the disciples became scared. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus calmed the sea. He calmed the waters. They were made safe, but for a while they were scared. And so for all of us, when this pandemic started, we all were a little bit scared because we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know what the end result was going to be. But we have to remember that life is unpredictable. We also need to remember that Satan never wastes an opportunity. I can just see Satan as this pandemic comes along, licking his chops and being so excited, thinking, what can I do to God's people now? Watch me. Watch me. And we saw it. We lived it. We saw what happened to our country. And it wasn't pretty. The first thing we saw was division. And lots of it. Not only did we have a pandemic to deal with, it was an election year. two whammies. And Satan went to work. In a major way, he went to work. And we watched our country fall apart. We watched people fight with one another. We watched people do things that we thought would be unfathomable 5 years ago because of the division that was caused by the pandemic and because it was an election year. You see, division is not anything that's new. You see, Paul dealt with this in the Corinthian letter because the people at Corinth, the church there, they had divisions. And in chapter 1 and verse 10, he addressed those and said, look, I beseech you by the name of the Lord Jesus that you be of the same mind, that you speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. And you see, oftentimes, unfortunately, what happens in the world sometimes creeps into the church. And we come to church and sometimes we forget. And we bring that divisive attitude and spirit that we hear at work and that we watch on TV. And we bring it into God's house. And sometimes we find ourselves divided among our own. Satan loves that. He absolutely loves that. Satan never wastes an opportunity. First of all, we saw division, and then that division did what? It led to distraction. It led to distraction. You know, one of Satan's greatest tools is to divide us and to distract us. Because if he can do that, guess what? He wins. He wins. Well, the Hebrew writer said, Hebrews 12 and verse 1, because we're compassed about with so great a witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What is that? A distraction. And the sin which so easily besets us, and let's run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to who? To Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the author, the beginner of our faith and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God. See, distractions can get in our way and can cost us our soul. And Satan knows that. So this opportunity with the pandemic, Satan says, watch me. I'll divide them and then I'll distract them. And guess what happens after that? Then comes the distance. We know about social distancing because we've endured that. There was a time when we didn't meet as a church because it was mandated by the state. We didn't understand a lot about the virus. We didn't know what was going to happen. And so the safety protocol was don't gather in groups. Stay home if you can. And if you get out, wear a mask and stay 6 feet away, and you know the whole thing. But what happens over a period of time is we become distant not only from one another, but ultimately we become distant from God. And that's dangerous. You know, the passage in Hebrews that talks about getting together and not forsaking assembling together. Why? Why do we assemble together? To edify and to exhort and to encourage one another. God knew that we needed that. And Satan knows if that doesn't happen, your faith becomes weak, you become vulnerable, and he can get you. And just like he told Peter in Luke 22 and verse 31, this was right before Peter was going to deny the Lord. He says, Peter, Satan desires to have you. Do you know what? You can insert your name there. Jake, Satan wants you. Howell, Satan wants you. Robin, Satan wants you. He wants every one of us. And he used that pandemic to his advantage because Satan is not going to waste an opportunity. What else do we know about the pandemic? Our bodies are fragile. You know, and I found this out, and I'm finding it out more and more the older I get. Last weekend, Joy and I spent some time in Birmingham working at her dad's house. We were moving some furniture. We were actually moving him from his house down to her sister's house, and we were doing some painting and some rearranging, and we worked for a couple of days. And I don't know if you saw me last Sunday, but I did good to get from my car to my seat. I had muscles that hurt that I didn't know existed.
And I realized very quickly, I'm not 25 anymore. Okay? This body can't do what it used to. Our bodies are fragile. And one of the things that we found out about the virus is that's very, very true. We saw pictures like this every day. ICU units in hospitals that were overrun with sick people. Lots and lots of sick people. Why? Because our bodies are fragile. We're susceptible to disease. We're susceptible to those things that could take our life. Because we're not immortal. Okay? We're mortals, but we're not immortal, not yet. The book of Genesis, after the fall of man, and God was declaring punishment on mankind, and woman was going to have pain in childbirth, he said to the man, in the sweat of your face you'll eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of the ground you were taken, for dust you are, and unto dust you will return. From the time we are born until we die, we're on that journey back to dust. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. And as we see in Psalms chapter 90, David says, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We fly away. And those of you that are older will attest to the fact that getting older is not for sissies. It's hard and it's difficult at times because the body breaks and it falls apart and it doesn't work like it used to. And we can't fight things off like we used to, and we succumb to problems. Our shoulders don't work right. Our knees don't work right, and things creak and groan and they hurt. Why? Because we're on our way back to the dust. Because our bodies are fragile. It's the way we were made. And we're reminded of that with this virus, aren't we? Nobody is immune. From the old to the young, you can get it. No one was immune. Number four, the virus reminds us that death is real. Somebody says, well, Todd, everybody knows that. That's nothing new. And that's true. But I can't ever remember a time in my life when death was the topic of the news day after day after day after day. And all we saw were caskets and caskets upon caskets upon caskets, and the numbers and the tallies that were run up on our TV screens in our homes day after day after day. Folks, death is real. And this pandemic brought that home in a major way. Now, for the child of God, death ain't no big deal, right? Hebrew writer says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that is the judgment. And you know, for God's people, that's not a problem. We're okay with that. But we saw that death is real. Even in our own local town, the obituaries, anybody still get the paper? Yeah, I'm an old fogey. I still get the paper. I like to look at it. Usually on a normal day, the obituaries would be maybe a half page, maybe a full page if there were a lot. During the pandemic, sometimes there were 3 pages of obituaries, as many as 30 names of people that had died locally, right here. One of our local funeral homes, you know, they have freezers where they keep bodies that they pick up from the hospital or from someone's home before they have time to prepare the body, and they store them there until the funeral. One of our local funeral homes has a freezer that will typically hold 8 to 10 bodies. On this one day in January, they had 18. That's right here, folks. That's in our backyard. And you saw the funerals. 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 a day. And all we have to do is look across the street and you can see that bulldozer was going to town every day, 3 and 4 times a day. They couldn't get the graves dug quick enough. Death is real. And we saw that day in and day out during this pandemic. One of the things that we know about death is for us as Christians, we want to be prepared. We want to make sure that when death comes, we're okay and we're ready to go. And that when Hebrews 9:27 happens for us and that appointed time happens for us to die, that we're okay. In Luke chapter 16, we have a story of two men. One was ready and one was not. And you know who I'm talking about. Rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was just too busy. Busy making money, busy with worldly pleasures. He made no preparation for the life to come. He wasn't ready for that appointed time. And as you read the story, you know, the rich man was filled with regret. A lot of regret. And he voiced that regret as he said, hey, I've got brothers. I've got others that I've left behind that need to be prepared so that they don't come to this place where I am. Death is real. Finally this morning, our future is bright. It is. Joy and I met in Birmingham when I was in dental school at the Roebuck Parkway Church of Christ, where I happened to be leading singing, and she would come in services late so I would see her. And it worked. And the rest is history. But our minister there had a saying, and he said it a lot, and he said it often, and he believed it. Our future is as bright as the promises of God. He would say that with a big smile on his face, and you would hear that in a sermon several times during the year, that the future of the church is as bright as the promises of God. The future of you as a child of God is as bright as the promises of God. You see, the pandemic has taken our focus off of the future because we've been scared and we've been afraid. But God says your future is bright no matter what happens here. Your future is bright, bright as the promises of God. The Corinthian writer put it this way, eye hath not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has been conceived in the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Do you know who that is? That's us, church. That's us. He's preparing those things for us. We can't even imagine how great it's going to be. We can't even imagine what God has in store for each one of us, but he's made that promise. John chapter 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again. Notice. The contrast between John 14 and Job 14. Job 14 tells us that man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. John 14 tells us how to avoid that trouble, right? How do you avoid that trouble? You believe in God. You believe in his son Jesus Christ. You believe that he's going to prepare a place for you. That's how you avoid trouble. That's how you avoid trouble. So our question this morning is very simple. What about you? Where do you find yourself today? We're 1 year into the pandemic and it's not over. It's not over, folks. We see that from our numbers. It's not over. It's still around. So what about you? What about me? What have I learned about myself? What have you learned about yourself? Are you better? Are you a better Christian today? Or are you bitter because of what you've been through the last year? It's easy to get bitter. It's easy to look at God and say, my trip got canceled. I haven't been able to see my mother or give her a hug in a year. Yeah, I'm angry. Why did this virus come anyways? I didn't ask for it. So have we, as God's people, have we extended grace and love to others who maybe have a different idea or philosophy about the virus or where it came from? I've heard people argue about where it came from. It came from China. No, it didn't. The government did it to us. Does it matter? Did we extend grace and love to others who maybe felt differently than we did? Or were we judgmental and critical? Satan wants you to be judgmental and critical. Satan wants you to point a finger. Satan wants you to be upset. I have on a mask and he doesn't, so I will be mad. So what do we do? Are we closer to God now than we were a year ago? Only you can answer that question. I can't look at your face and tell if you are or not. Or are you more distant? Is it harder to feel close to God? Is it harder to feel close to your brothers and to your sisters because of what you've been through the last year? Are we more prepared to meet the Lord? Or are we less prepared? You see, these are questions that only you can answer. But you see, we're at a place where these things can be fixed. We're among a group of people that we're just simply trying to go to heaven. And we're all trying to go together. And you want to go there. I want to go there. So let's get ready. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's in your heart because I can't see it, but God can. And so this morning we simply ask, what lessons have you learned from the pandemic? Are you better today than you were a year ago? If there are changes you need to make, you can make them today. And Jesus will help you. He will forgive you. We will love you. We will push forward. We sit here today and we can thank God that physically our lives have been spared. Amen? But folks, don't let the pandemic take your soul. If you need to come to Jesus, we invite you now as we stand and sing together.
Making sure we're getting ready for communion this morning. So in our preparations for that, we will sing Highest Place. We all sing together on the first time through it, and then this part split on the second time. We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else. And we come to you and worship at your feet. We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else. And we come to you and worship at your feet. And we come.
If you did not receive a communion packet, would you please raise your hand this time? We'll take just a few moments here. We can pass these out. Just keep your hands up, please, so that they can see you. Straight back, Bob, here, Jan and anyone, have we missed anyone? Raise your hand high if we've missed you. Okay, I believe that's everyone. So we come to this part of our worship where, very importantly, we're going to remember our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Messiah, the Christ. And we're going to focus on His love for us, that He gave His life, God's love for us, that He allowed His Son to die for us. And this morning, we're commanded to remember to take the cup, which represents the body of Christ. We're commanded to do that on the Lord's Day and to take, the cup that represents the juice, the blood, the bread that represents His body, the broken body. And what I want to do simply this morning is I'd ask you to please take your Bible or your device, whichever you use, and read along with me. And let's let God speak to us this morning through His Word. And remember what Jesus did for us. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 26. You turn there, Matthew 26. Please, I encourage you to take your Bible and follow with me. And we're going to read a good bit. And we're going to start in verse 47. And I ask that all of us, as we read, that we make note of the times that Christ's body was impacted in a bad way, and that we make note of the times that there was blood involved. for our Lord and his suffering for us. Matthew 26:47, and while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. And he who was betraying him gave them a sign previously, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. You arrest him. And immediately Judas went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, do what you have come for. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached out and drew his sword, and he struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way? At that time, Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a man itching a revolt? Every day I used to sit within the temple grounds teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets will be fulfilled. Then all the disciples, they left him, and they fled. Now those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and he came inside and sat down with the officers to see the outcome. Now the chief priests and the entire council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. But later on, two came forward and said, this man stated, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up and said to him, do you offer no answer for what these men are testifying against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, I place you under oath by the living God to tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes, and he said, he has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? See, you have now heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They answered, he deserves death. And this is what they did to our Savior. Then they spit in his face, and they beat him with their fist, and others slapped him. And they said, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is the one who hit you? And they mocked him during this little episode. Let's go to the next chapter, verse 1. And when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred against him, against Jesus, to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. We're going to skip down to verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, so you are the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, it is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not offer any answer. And then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you? And still he did not answer him in regard to even a single charge. So the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the Passover feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. And at that time they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew that it was because of envy that they had handed him over. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, see that you have nothing to do with this righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. And the governor said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said to them, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And they all said, crucify him. But he said, why? What evil has he done? Yet they kept shouting all the more, saying, crucify him. Now when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, He took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. You yourselves shall see. And all the people replied, His blood shall be on us and on our children. And then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus flogged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole Roman cohort to him. And they stripped him, and they put a red cloak on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and they put a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him, and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him. And they took the reed, and they beat him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the cloak off of him, and put his own garments back on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene known as Simon, and they compelled to carry his cross. When they came to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they gave him wine mixed with bile to drink. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. At that time, two rebels were being crucified with him, one on the right and on the left. And those passing by were speaking abusively to him, shaking their heads and saying, You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come now down from the cross, and we will believe him. He has trusted in God. Let God rescue him now, if he takes pleasure in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the rebels who had been crucified with him were also insulting him in the same way. Now about the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there, and when they heard it, said, This man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. But the rest of them said, Let us see if Elijah comes to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and gave up his spirit. Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. And also the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now as far as the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the other things that were happening, they became extremely frightened and said, Truly, this was the Son of God. You bow with me, please. Our Father in heaven, Lord, it is through your Son, Jesus, that we are so grateful for. And it's through him we approach you at this time, Lord. Lord, we're doing what you've asked us to do this morning. What your Son asked us to do, and remember his death. It's hard for us to understand the suffering, the torture and the pain, the agony, the mental anguish he went through, Father, for a sinner like me. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, Lord, for his love and for the salvation that it brings to me, Father, and to each of us. Lord, this morning as we partake of this bread, Lord, we know it represents, as the Lord told us, as Christ told us, it represents his body. And I pray, Father, that our minds are completely focused on his sacrifice and the body that held suspended, Father, on that cross. Lord, I pray that we'll take this in a way that's pleasing to you and your Son. In Christ's name, amen. Let us continue in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we again thank you for your Son, Father, for our Savior, for Jesus, for the Christ. Lord, I pray as we partake of this cup, Father, that's filled with this juice, Father, we know that it represents the cleansing blood, Father, of our Savior. And for every drop, Father, that fell from his body, Lord, we know and we understand that it cleanses us, Father, today. And it makes us white as snow before you, Lord. So you don't see the sin in us, Father. And we're so thankful for this sacrifice, Father. And I pray, Father, to partake of this cup, Father, that will be done in a way, Father, it's pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, we also always want to be mindful of the blessings that we have, the physical blessings, and give thanks to God for those blessings and to return a portion that he's blessed us with this past week. So at this time, let's go to God in prayer to give thanks. Dear Lord, we're so thankful to you, Father, for the blessings that we enjoy. And Lord, we know that all things that we have are direct blessings from you, Father. That we have nothing without you, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the strength and the health that we've enjoyed this past week, Father, for being able to work, Lord, and provide a living for our families. Thank you for the blessing of health, Lord. Thank you for our jobs. And thank you for the other ways that you give us blessings. And I pray, Father, that we'll return a portion to you, Father, with gladness in our hearts and with joy in our hearts. And I pray, Father, that these funds will be used wisely to further your kingdom, Father, to help the gospel be taken, Father, throughout this community and throughout the world. Lord, I thank you for loving us and for what you give us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Once again, we do want to thank everybody that has been here this morning, especially our visitors. See several as we look out. Thank you. Come back. I do want to remind that we will not have classes after services this morning. So after we sing a song and have a closing prayer, you will be dismissed, but we will meet back here tonight at 5 o'clock. So we hope you can be a part of that. Let's stand as we sing a verse of a closing song, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, by nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above, and I.
Father in heaven, we can truly say that it has been good that we have been here this morning. Thank you for the uplifting and encouraging words that Todd brought to us. Thank you for the songs that Mark led us in and for the prayer that David led earlier, for the reading that Anthony gave us. Father, thank you for so many men in this congregation who are able to fill in and to lead worship services on short notices. Thank you for our elders who are able to adapt to changes quickly and to be able to conduct services in a way that should be pleasing to you, we pray. Father, thank you for the many blessings that we enjoy of being able to worship together as a family. Father, thank you for the past 9 or 10 months that we've been able to worship together in this building when so many others have not been able to open their doors to worship. Father, thank you for the technology and the wisdom that you have blessed people with to be able to have our worship services presented online for those who are unable to attend. Father, we pray for those today that are suffering from COVID or from illnesses or injuries or sickness or for any reason that they're unable to be here, that they can worship with us online and see and hear the things that we're enjoying here today. Father, thank you for the ones who put on the Easter egg hunt yesterday for the children. Thank you for those who planned it, prepared for it, for all those who prepared games for the children to be entertained, and for all those who supplied food, and for all those who helped. And thank you for each child who came and enjoyed his time or her time here. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless this congregation with many children, with many good teachers, many good elders, preachers. Father, thank you so much for the abilities that you have blessed people with to be together in this congregation. Father, we know that things are not bright for everyone, that some have lost a loved one, a parent, or a spouse, or a grandson, or some other close relative this week. We pray that you would comfort them, give them peace, help us all to commute to them, that we sympathize and that we understand their pain and we can do all things that we are able to do to help them. Father, thank you for those who are away this past week but have been able to return safely. Pray that you will continue to watch over us. Father, we pray that you would be with those that are in different lands, either as missionaries and presenting the gospel to other lands or those who are in the armed services, helping to protect those countries and to protect our country. Father, thank you for their service. Father, we ask that you will continue to bless this congregation. Thank you for all the many things that we are involved in. We pray that you would bless them with success. We pray for the Walk for Water coming up. We pray for the children's benefit and trail ride at the Coates Farm. Thank you for their hospitality and for their continuing to host this. Father, we pray that you would be with those who will be traveling this week and give them a safe journey. Father, we ask that you continue to be with those who are fighting illnesses and sicknesses. We pray for Larry Phillips, that you would help us to encourage him and help him to find a doctor who can help his situation. Father, we pray that you would help us to encourage him each day and to help him to get through this. Father, there are so many others who are fighting illnesses. We pray that you would give us all the ability to reach out to them, to help them, to do anything that we can for them. Father, again, we thank you for the blessings of being here this morning. Thank you for each one who has led a part of our worship, or for those teachers who have prepared a lesson but are unable to present it this morning. Father, we pray that the COVID in this area will decrease soon so that everyone can be back in this church together and all congregations can begin to meet again. Father, we pray that the yellow tape can be removed and that this auditorium will once again be filled with those who want to worship you together. Father, thank you for the plans and preparations that allow us to meet. Thank you for those who have made the decisions that we can meet. Thank you for your son especially, Father. Thank you for all the many good things that he does for us and for the promise of heaven that we all look forward to. We ask you to be with us throughout this day. Bless those who have been affected by the storms of the past week, those in Alabama and Georgia and other places where tornadoes have been. Father, we pray that the help that they desperately need will reach them, that everything will get back to normal quickly for them, Lord. We ask you to continue to watch over us and bless us. Help us each day to do our best. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.